For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
We need to have our eyes on Jesus, don't we? In this day and age, we need Jesus. I mean, we need Him in every age, but especially in this day, we need to get our eyes on Jesus. We need to come together and center around the person of Jesus. And I hope that we're here today for Jesus. If you're here for some person, we're going to be disappointed, aren't we? Other than the person of Christ. And if we leave here with anything other than Him, we're going to leave here empty. Because we need Him. And we come with needs, yes, many, all kinds of needs. But He is the answer. He said, I am the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I mean, there's nothing without Him. And there's no way to the Father without Him. He's made a way as our interceder. And I'm so thankful for Jesus today. Psalm 33 in your Bible, if you go there with me. Psalm 33 and Psalm 34, but I want you to start in Psalm 33. And we'll begin in verse number 13. We are praying for Pastor Miss Cindy. I'm thankful for the opportunity here to try to fill the pulpit, fill his shoes. I know Brother Seth's been doing the same, and appreciate all the help there that we've had together. And I know Pastor is praying for us today. So Psalm 33, if you would there, look in your Bible, verse number 13. The psalmist says, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. And I want you to go down or across the page to Psalm 34 in verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. As I was studying this, actually Psalm 33, I was looking through and just thinking of how the Lord sees what is going on in the world. And we live in a world that's full of trouble. We live in a world that is in trouble. And for so long here in America, we've not seen that trouble so much. And we've been sheltered from that, even more so here in small town West Virginia. We've been sheltered from some of that type of trouble. And though we all have our troubles, man is few days born of a woman and full of trouble, Job said. But it says here in verse number 13 of Psalm 33, the Lord looketh from heaven, and He beholdeth all the sons of men. I want you to notice the word all. What God sees from heaven, from His perspective, says He sees all the sons of men from the place of His habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. And I wonder, just what does the Lord see when He looks? Of course, we know that He sees it all. We teach that to our children. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. And we know that He sees the path of the just as much as He sees the path of the unjust. But it says here that He looks and He sees all. He sees all. Three times it uses the word all, speaking of the inhabitants of the earth and all of men and all of the works of men. And I guess you could say that is the macro. The Lord looks at it and sees the big picture. He sees all of mankind. He sees the multitudes. He sees the 7.8 billion people around our globe. 7.8 billion. I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that. I tried to think of that in some terms that I could understand, and I thought maybe if you took the population of West Virginia, our 1.8, 2 million, something like that, you could have 4,000 states of West Virginia, and that would equal somewhere around the population of the world. Those numbers are kind of just mind-blowing. 7.8 billion. God sees them all, it says here in Psalm 33. But then as I studied on, I came to chapter 34, and he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He says, and he delivered me from all my fears. He said, this poor man, in verse number 6 of chapter 34, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. All my fears, all my troubles. Yes, all the troubles of the world and all the things that God sees, the good and the bad, and we may even say the ugly that we're seeing now. God sees all of that, but notice how God zeroed in and he says, the psalmist says, and he heard me. God heard him and delivered him. He said he delivered me from all my fears. He delivered this poor man. He says, I was just nothing. I was poor. I was low as low could be in this world, in my life. And he said, he delivered me from all my troubles. If you want to title the lesson or the message today, I would entitle it Help from Heaven or Heaven Help Us. Heaven Help Us. As we think of all that God sees from heaven, sometimes we feel maybe lost. We feel lost in all of the crowd. We may get lost in the multitude. We may seem as though no one understands, no one sees the trouble that I'm going through. No one knows what I'm facing. And even though we know, yes, family is there, and even spouse and children are there for us, there's really no one maybe that can relate to or really know and see what I'm dealing with. And the psalmist said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He said, I cried unto him, and he delivered me. God is listening. God is looking. He sees the multitude, yes, but he sees you. I think of our Lord Jesus when he was on this earth walking in sandaled shoes. He was coming to a city there by the pool of Bethesda, and it says there was a great multitude of them that lay sick. Those who were deaf, those who were palsied, those who had lain there for years, hoping just for a little bit of help from heaven. The waters would stir. Looking for a little help from heaven. And yes, there was a great crowd there, a great multitude, but God saw one. He saw one lame man who'd been there for decades. And he went to that man in his hour of need and said, Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want help from heaven? You may be here this morning needing help from heaven. No one can help, you say. There's no help for my situation. There's no help really for my health condition. There's no help really for my emotional condition. There's no help for my home, you may feel. There's no help for my situation at the work site. There's no help for me. And you may say, where is there help? And God says, there's help in heaven. Heaven can help us today. You say, we look at this world and we say, boy, it's hopeless. Boy, in America, we're looking and we say, where is there hope for America? I mean, generations have come and gone, and this one we look at and say, is this the last one for our nation? Is this the final straw? Is the clock stroking midnight for America? And we may say, is there help for America? And the answer is yes, there is help in heaven. This same Psalm, Psalm 33, look at verse number 12. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation, but it zeroes it down a little more, and it says, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Specifically, that's referring to Israel. We understand that. But in application, God has an inheritance for all those who will make him their Lord. And he said, blessed is the nation. There is hope. There is help from heaven. Heaven can help us. I want to remind you of three things about our God this morning. I want to lay these upon your heart. If you have something to write, I'd encourage you to take notes. May I remind you, number one, that we have a God who is in control. There is a God in heaven. And notice there in chapter 33 and verse number 13, it says, the Lord looketh from heaven. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. It says in verse 14, from the place of his habitation. Where is the Lord? He is high and lifted up. He is upon his throne. He is in heaven. And yes, he is in control. If you look back at verse number 6 in this chapter 33, it tells us of his great control by the word of the Lord. Were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Think of the power of his control. Just his words. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. I'm here to tell you this morning, as we think of things being in trouble and out of control, maybe personally, individually, nationally, maybe in your family, in this world, may I remind you that we serve a God who is in control. In a world that's out of control, God is in control. In a life that seems spinning out of control, God is still on the throne of your life. God is still on the throne of heaven, and he is still in control of all things. And I think of what Job said. In chapter 23 of Job, you don't have to turn there, but let me read this to you. Job asked the question, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Some may ask, where is God in all of this? Where is God in the middle of my mess? Where is God in the middle of this world and all that's taking place? Where is God? Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself in on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job says, I don't know where he is. I don't see him working. I don't see his hand. I can't see him in the midst of this fog and this storm as the billows are rolling. He said in verse number 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said, I'm looking forward and I'm looking backward. He said, I see to the left and to the right and I can't find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And then Job looked upward and he realized, I know where he is. He's on the throne. He's in heaven. And he knoweth, he said, the way that I take. It's not, do I know what He's doing? Can I see where He is working? Can I see what God's plan is? Can I see what God is doing in all of this trouble? What matters is that He is in control and He sees where I'm at. He sees where you are. He knoweth the way that I take. Can you trust Him? He's in control. He's on the throne today in heaven. We serve a God who is in control. Number two, may I remind you that we serve a God who can be trusted. Who can be trusted. Because of His power, because of His authority, because of His control, He is a God who can be trusted. We can trust Him. You ever been in a vehicle where you have to put your life in someone else's hand? Speaking as a father of a 16-year-old, 17-year-old driver. How many of you have teenagers that are driving in your home? Amen. Not proud enough to admit it, I see. Where you put your life in someone else's control. You got to trust them. Been on an airplane? Yeah. You got to trust them. You got to put your hands, or your life, excuse me, in their hands and under their control. That only happens with this word, trust. You get on that plane, you get in that vehicle, and you sit down in trust, reliance, or a little intrepidity, whatever, maybe. But with the Lord, if we understand He is in control, it looks like things are spinning out of control. I mean, it looks like the world's going to fly apart. But if we understand that He is in control, then we'll have no problem understanding that He can be trusted. Look at Psalm 33, verse number 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Everything that God does is done in truth. Scripture says He does all things for your sake, and that all things are working together for good to them who are the called, to those who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God is doing all things in truth. He doesn't do anything in error. He doesn't do anything to harm us that does not work out for the better, for truth. And it says in verse number five, it says, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We look and we say the earth is full of wickedness. We look and say the earth is full of trouble. The earth is full of sorrow and heartache and bitterness and darkness. But the Bible says the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. He's a God who can be trusted. Look at verse number 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. He says, there is no army that can save. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. There is no manpower. Nobody is saved by their own strength. Verse 17, an horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Even the might of a horse, which we even still regulate and describe our engine power by the might of a horse. Horsepower. He said, even the strength of a horse is not mighty enough to save. Don't put your trust in the things of men, kings and armies, he's saying, in the strength of man and the inventions of men or even the might and power of a horse. He says, behold, verse number 18, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. That word hope is the idea of a trusting reliance upon His mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Death and famine, two things that men cannot control, two things that men have zero power over. The grave and whether or not it rains and the earth produces fruit. We have no power over that. And God says, those two things I can deliver you from. Strength cannot. Political power cannot. Might cannot. He says, but I can. Verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. He is a God who can be trusted this morning. I'm talking about help from heaven. A God who is on the throne and in control. He can be trusted in your life, in your workplace. He can be trusted in the home that has trouble. He can be trusted with your health. Hey, can I put my physical health in the hand of God? Hey, He can be trusted with your children. Can I place my children in His care and say, oh, I don't know, I'm going to shove them off the dock. And can I trust them in His care? He is a God who can be trusted. He's a God who can be relied upon. Would you go with me in the New Testament? Hold your place here. Go with me to Mark chapter number 9. I don't give much personal illustrations. I love scripture illustrations. And our Lord Jesus gives one here in Mark chapter 9. Nothing against personal illustrations. But in Mark chapter 9, our Lord, who was always in control, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He is the example and the personification. He is God in the flesh and was God in the flesh when He walked here. But everywhere He went, things may have seemed out of control, but He was in control. He would go into a funeral and change the circumstances. He would control the circumstances. He would be in a mob and He would control the crowd. He would be where people needed fed and He would control the situation. He would face an angry mob that would crucify Him. And yes, even though they crucified Him, He laid down His life in total control of the situation, giving up His life. But here's one of those circumstances where He was in control. They brought to Him, a man brought to Him his son who was possessed of a devil. Totally outside of the control of any human being. His disciples tried to cast this devil out and they could not. And so they brought him to Jesus and they said, your disciples couldn't help him. And He said, can you help my son? And Jesus said in the end of verse number 19, bring him unto me. May I say that's the best thing we can do with our children? That is the best thing we can do with our family. That is the best thing we can do with our situation. Is bring it to Jesus. We can trust Him with the situation. We can trust Him with our home. We can trust Him with our troubles. And they brought him in verse number 20 of Mark 9. They brought him unto Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. This was an out of control situation. And Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. It's been a long, long road for them. It's been a long haul for you. Long, difficult time, no doubt. And he goes on to describe in verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters, tries to burn him, tries to drown him, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He was pleading for help from heaven. He said, heaven, help us. And notice the request. He said, if thou canst do anything. And the Lord Jesus turned in verse 23 and said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. The question is not if God can. The question is not if God can. The question is if we'll trust Him, if we'll believe Him. Jesus said, He turned it around. The man said, if you can help him, will you do something? And Jesus said, hey, it's on you. If you will believe, all things are possible. If you'll trust God for this, God can do it. If you'll just believe in me, He said, I'll follow through with my ability. You see, it's not about God's ability. It's not about God's dependability. It's about our ability to trust Him. That's what wavers. That's what wanes to and fro, waxes, our trust in Him. And I'm here to remind you this morning that God, yes, He is a God who's in control. And because of that, He's a God who can be trusted. He can be trusted. God is faithful. Scripture says, "Hope thou in God." And the Lord Jesus, to not leave the story hanging, the man says to Jesus, verse number 24, the father of the child cried out, said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." I think God hears that prayer. You may say, "Well, how do I trust Him more? I want to trust Him more." And we want to put it in His hands. And the problem is, the harder we try to trust, it seems the less we're trusting. The more we beg God and plead with God, the more it feels like we're not believing. And he prayed a simple but yet profound prayer to Jesus. He said, "I'll believe, but help my unbelief." The two sides of the coin that every one of us deal with. Yes, we believe, but there's that other side of the coin. I just don't know if God will. Or maybe if God can. You ever gotten to that point? I don't know if God can fix this. God can. Don't just cross that one out. God can. You just keep trusting that God will. God will. He said, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee," this is his control of the situation, "I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that they said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. He received help from heaven that day. It had been a long time since, but he got help from heaven. We serve a God who can be trusted because he is a God who is in control. And let me remind you thirdly today, he is a God who gives peace. He is a God who gives peace. In the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the despair, when we're in the boat of life and the storm is raging, he speaks peace. Be still. Back in Psalm 34, if you held your place there, he said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me." What a wonderful thing to know that we have a hearing with God. We have his ear. High up on the throne of heaven, there's a connection directly to your seat, to your heart. Your voice doesn't even have to come out of your mouth. He can hear the words of your heart. He can hear your cry. And he can give peace. And it says, "And he delivered me from all my fears." From all my fears. He said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." No matter the circumstances of life, you can have peace. No matter what life throws at us, no matter what tests and trials come, you can find help from heaven. I want to close this sermon. I'm going to give you a few verses. If you want to jot them down, I'd encourage you. I'm going to read them to you. We won't turn to all of them. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." You know, we know that phrase, "God's not the author of confusion." But if you read on in the verse, it says, "but of peace." Those are contrasts. Confusion, tumult, turmoil versus peace. God is not the author of your trouble, your turmoil. But it says, "but of peace." He is the author of peace. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, but he is the author of our peace. And he'll give peace. Psalm 4, verse 8 says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." What is it we want? Even in the midst of a storm, if we have peace, we can rest. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Here it is, "because he trusteth in thee." We can quote that verse and say that verse and claim that verse, but until we do the last part, we're not going to have the peace. "Because he trusteth in thee." Why can we trust in him? Because we're confident that he's in control. And when we trust in him, he gives us the peace. And he even calls it perfect peace. That is complete peace. That is, when the world is falling apart, we're standing on a solid rock. And our foundation doesn't crumble. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." This last verse that I'll give you in closing, Jesus said in John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." And he calls it, he says, "my peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." How does the world give? The world gives as long as it benefits the world. The world gives temporarily, then takes back and gets more than it ever gave. How does Jesus give? He gives complete, perfect peace. Not for his sake, but for our sake. "All things are for your sake," the scripture says. "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Do you have peace this morning in a world that's falling apart? In a life that's full maybe of trouble, do you need help from heaven? We have a God who's in control. You have a God who can be trusted. You have a God who can give you peace.